The following podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome, dear listener, to Echoes of Escheton, a solo play Degenesis podcast that lets the dice rolls tell the story. You'll find the gripping narratives in this apocalyptic setting unfold before your very ears. You'll hear stories of loss and injustice, redemption and hope. A miasma of gloom drifts across the barren wastes, while nightmarish beasts roam and terrorize cities and settlements. Only mankind's inexhaustible will to survive offers the faintest glimmer of hope on the horizon. The echoing shades of the bygone peoples lingers on the wind and on the lips of survivors in this hell on earth. What stories will they tell? A tone from the intercom speakers startled Sudo. She stopped her daily log entry on her digipad as the buzz lights overhead grew brighter from an electric surge passing through the interior of Mulhouse. Murmurs rumbled throughout the space as the scratchy speakers relayed their message.
Quarantine has been lifted. Exit the premises in an orderly fashion. Final check-ins are allowed from previous patients in the medical area before departure. Belongings left behind will become property of the Helvetic Army.
Yawning children and their tired parents gathered their packs and remainders of whatever wasn't left outside during the leprous attack. Anything important dropped in the fray was lost, as it was to be incinerated by Spitalian hygienists due to its spore contamination. Sudo saw Etta Youngbao cleaning and reloading her flintlock pistol. Wire brushes and a cleaning kit was laid out at her feet as she plunged the short ramrod into the barrel to pack the new wad and lead ball inside.
Is it time to go?
Sudo said.
Seems that way. Let's get out of here.
Etta replied, and inserted her rod back into the kit, closed the flaps, and shoved the loaded firearm back into her leather waistband. Etta felt refreshed. She found steadiness and solace in cleaning her weapon, and had whittled away the time since her last chat with Sergeant Nielsen. The time alone had allowed her to dwell on her despair before packing it away. It would do no more good here. Justitian was counting on her, and she was done feeling sorry for herself. If she was to live a life well, she decided, it was up to her. Life was too short, shorter even still for those unfortunate souls outside the checkpoint doors. Matthias was right. She was still here. As Matthias's advice was still on her mind, he waded through extra bodies into her field of view, brushing past other travelers making their way towards the exit. He made eye contact with Etta and Sudo and stepped aside to avoid bumping oncoming traffic.
Judge Youngbao, you've been ordered by command to stop by the radio broadcast tower just outside the exit. There is an important signal receiving from Uptown Justitian, for your ears only.
I'll be there shortly. Were you able to inquire about our escort through the hard path?
Matthias laughed hollowly.
I inquired, but no one seemed to give a shit.
Etta looked away, frustrated. Matthias found her gaze, though, and with a growing smile on his face said,
But, seeing as how Exel was shut down, my CO was stabbed in the throat during the Leprous attack, and no higher-ups have recalled me back to the fortress yet, I suppose I could spare some time to get you both there.
Etta beamed and grabbed his hand to shake it.
Thank you. I was stealing myself and my pockets to have to pay another Helvetic a tidy sum to get us to where we needed to go.
Matthias's face grew stern.
Who said I wasn't going to collect on what you owed Baron?
The friendly handshake grew limp. Etta was embarrassed to have presumed, but a bit perturbed as well, having thought things were simpatico between the soldier and herself. Her frustration was assuaged, though, when a prankish smile broke over Matthias's face, lightening his formerly dark features.
Keep your bills in your purse, Judge. The soldiers of fortune I've known in the ranks have never had a day of fulfillment. I choose to live and serve under the doctrine. Austerity above both waste and want. What can I say? Old recruiter propaganda sticks with you.
Noble and true to your word. You have mine and Sudo's thanks.
The military-industrial complex weakens the society and burdens.
Etta jutted Sudo in the ribs with her elbow.
Happy to help. It's at least two people I can help. But don't tarry. The radio operator is waiting for you past the exit now receiving tower. Sudo, if you'd like, the use of both of your arms again before you depart, consider swinging by the medical station. They'll check out your injury and give you a fresh wrap if necessary. I've got a few XL settlers I'd like to say goodbye to, but I'll catch up with you two outside.
Etta tipped her hat.
Until we meet again,
she said. Etta broke away to go find the radio tower, but she turned back as she was leaving and asked Sudo,
Will you be okay by yourself?
She winced a bit as she said it, realizing how it sounded. She could feel the gaze of a sullen teenager peering through the smoky acrylic lenses. Sudo replied shortly,
Yes, this one has survived long enough even to walk and breathe at the same time.
Before stomping off toward the attending's battalions. Etta passed two Helvetics directing people back outside the doors of the checkpoint rear. The wash of sunlight briefly hurt her eyes, even with the shade from the wide brim of her hat. In the bright static of the mid-morning sun, she could make out the metal and wooden beams converging up to a large metallic dish and antenna array atop a small, bricked structure. She made herself known to the sentry standing outside the structure door, who stood aside to let her in. The air inside was much cooler than the main interior space of Mulhouse, even with the fans and air circulating. A more confined space and only three people made the air feel almost drafty by comparison, as the temperate air cooled the skin at her neck, cheeks, and brow. A Helvetic radio beam unit manned the receiver station, twisting knobs and issuing call signs to other radio towers dozens, if not hundreds, of kilometers away. The Helvetic at the desk had a set of headphones around both ears, but dropped one earmuff to the side of his temple as his comrade gestured to Etta walking up behind him.
Good morning. I was told there was a message for Judge Etta Jungbau.
Right, here, put this on.
The guard held up an extra pair of headphones to Etta, who removed her hat and took them in her hand. Etta moved her head under the phones, unsure of what the strange headwear was supposed to do.
No, like this, you squib,
the radio operator said, and adjusted the fit of the wire headband around Etta's crown. Even through the scratchy foam and plastic scraping at the cartilage on her ears, she could hear the stiff flip of switches and the dialing clicks of tuning knobs at the board.
Apollo 9, Apollo 9, this is Mulhouse Station 1, come in, over.
Mulhouse Station 1, this is Apollo 9, go ahead, over.
City Judge Jungbau, present and ready to receive pre-recorded message from uptown. Verbal communication of message received to follow, over.
Yeah, Roger Mulhouse, go ahead with message playback. Stand by for log scrub after verbal affirm. Hard copy.
Hard copy, tape reel set for purge, beginning playback,
the guard said, and clicked several metallic buttons down, resting his fingers on another set. Etta could see the reel of shiny magnetic tape spinning up around the spool next to the radio board. The guard tapped his own earphones, indicating Etta should get ready to listen.
You get one playback, Judge. It's normally two, but ever since the leprous attack, we've been keeping radio chatter and stored messages to a minimum. Here.
The guard pushed over a graphite stylus and some wrinkled sheets of paper with small doodles and shapes, bored squiggles filling the corners. The operator pushed down another button as the shiny paper on the reel began spinning.
Etta, this is City Official Jungbau. This message should receive you before you arrive in Mukatori. Your diplomatic orders have been updated. You are to personally deliver my summons and meet with Governor Gala Lombardi.
Etta was surprised at the sound of her father's voice coming from the reel. She thought she'd just be handing off information to other lackeys on the governor grounds.
Our position in the city stands to be bolstered by an on-site judiciary presence in Pergare, and that means you. Naturally, Bergamo or Lucatore are our top choices, but be aware that Cavalese and Tirano will be on the table in Governor Lombardi's mind. Lombardi may be amenable to a judge's presence, but that doesn't mean she won't want to diminish or downplay it. But you know your worth. As such, avoid any agreement to Moreno Outpost. It is far too visible to any remaining Anabaptist refugees there for a judge to be seen in league with their oppressors.
Etta began writing down, presence in Lucatore, and she put the cities that her father had mentioned in a hierarchy of importance as the message continued.
The situation is delicate. Cathedral City will press the Senate as to why the judiciary is so comfortable presiding where Jahamadan and Helvetic deserters reside, just 2 years out from losing such vital trade territory. You will need to be shrewd and direct with the governor. Her tolerances are thin, and she respects honesty. But don't be afraid to keep a few cards close to your chest. I'm delegating this representative position to you, Etta. Radio in with news from your new post. It just better not be from Moreno.
White noise filled the headphones as she finished jotting down the notes. The operator looked at her, awaiting a word of acceptance.
Message received. Many thanks.
She stared down at the paper and tried to commit it to memory. It was a lot to take in. A diplomatic delivery being upgraded to a stationed post? And for how long? Etta's excitement and fears grew in equal measure as she tucked the note inside her coat pocket and laid her headset on the table. The operator reversed the tape wheel and recorded live static over Dare of Youngbao's message as Etta closed the door behind her. City Judge Etta has come a long way, and her confidence in presenting the best aspects of Justician has come along with her. As I've stated in earlier episodes, I've been granting at least one XP for each episode characters appear in, and in some cases, like surviving encounters or leaning into her cult's position, up to 3 XP. I think it's time to increase her stats in this season's first level up. As a primal-focused character, Etta is going to take advantage of the discounted XP rules to raise her expression and negotiation skills. In the Catharsis Rulebook, page 102, it describes experience and progression in greater detail, but essentially, you take the new value of a skill or attribute and multiply it by a fixed factor to determine the cost of XP. For example, Etta's expression went from level 1 to level 2, so the rules say I multiply by 2, which is the new value, by the fixed factor, in this case, it's 4. So she uses 8 XP to upgrade her expression. For negotiation, she is going from level 0 to level 1, so I multiply 1, the new value, by a fixed factor of 4. She uses 4 XP plus the 8 XP for expression for a total cost of 13 XP. Who doesn't like using some maths to make their character better? I think it makes the most sense for her too, given all the time she has been a peacemaker or imposed her will in a somewhat diplomatic manner. But we'll see if it's enough to impress the Viper of Luca Torre, Gala Lombardi. Back inside Mulhouse at the medical station, Pseudo the Chronicler flexed her arm as this battalion removed the fraying, dirty gauze and wooden brace inside. Her arm was still a bit stiff, but had mended well, thanks to Kiefer's improvised splint out in the wilds. Whoever wrapped you up did a decent job, the battalion commented.
He was a battalion of action. Courage is hard to quantify, but I have witnessed it.
Pseudo replied. More humanity than I've ever heard from a tinhead. Was he outside when the doors closed? Pseudo nodded. Shame. I'm sure he did his duty. We should all be so lucky to die fighting the Primer, instead of wasting time patching up machines like you. Well, you're all set. Head towards the exit.
Next!
Pseudo was edged off the cot by another clanner with a long gash on their head, crusted over with dried blood. The medical attendant's words of duty and die fighting weighed heavier than the scathing tinhead or machine monikers. Her thoughts actually took her to Multithread, the agent she had molded and mentored in the cluster beneath Justician. Would he say similar things about her help? She opened and closed her hands as she moved towards the exit. Pseudo wasn't far past the exit doors when a familiar sight stopped her dead in her tracks. It was the young girl from the Franken laborers' camp, alive and well. Pseudo watched as she raced across the empty space between immigrants and took the hand of an older woman who put her hand on the back of the child to guide her through the crowd. Sudo took a half step toward the girl, drawn by her mere presence.
The potential. I should intercede before she is lost to the cluster.
And yet her progress was halted by a thin man who stepped in front of her. He wore a large poncho with patches sewn along the shoulder pleats, as well as a pair of knitted pants and mud-caked boots. He wore a soft fabric chaperone around his head, with a scarf-like tail thrown over his shoulder. Pardon me, Chronicler. I have information trade I'd like to make.
Trade access denied. This one is engaged in other functions at the moment.
Sudo said, distractedly, as she moved to shove past him. But he stepped in front of her again, aggressively bumping into her chest.
You did not hear me. Let me fix that for you.
Sudo brought her hand up to the repaired vocoder knob, but the man shot out his hand from beneath the garb, catching her wrist. He leaned into her ear as she struggled and whispered, "This is a fragment of information you need. Lithium 19 override." Sudo heard a wash of static between her ears and felt a trance-like calm take over her body. Her grip on the volume knob softened and then released. The man brought her hand smoothly down to her side as her shoulders went slack. Her entire focus was on the man in front of her.
Sudo 19, open forum for new tasking discussion.
She said, with a mechanical intonation. Good, the man said. He took Sudo by the shoulders to an unoccupied corner of the exit walkway. He looked over each shoulder, double-checking to make sure no one would interrupt. Proxy Tau interfacing. Level 20. Score 503. Sudo connected the patterns quickly in her mind and recalled her own designation in the cluster's algorithmic system.
Sudo 19. Level 5. Score 115.
She responded rotely. Proxy Tau's eyes narrowed as he pulled a reflective diskette from underneath his poncho and held it in front of his chest. A small gasp came from Sudo's mouthpiece. Other ones know about the stream access you desire. Fragment Monochrome rewards those with the drive to do what is right for the cluster. Your score and level will increase. Exponential growth. Log theorems and fractals unfold reality and manifest new iterations, just for this one, he concluded, pointing a bony finger right at her chest. He tucked the diskette back inside his poncho and smoothed down the front. Sudo tried to comprehend the dizzying possibilities of getting more time with the static stream in the nexus of the mainframe. The mimetic trance intensified her memories of past visits to the heart of the cluster. It also triggered extreme feelings of guilt and frustration within her. She hadn't thought about the static stream since her time in the mountains. Her time spent with outsiders had weakened her mission processing. It burned like a fire inside her mind, and her passion and zeal was returning with each passing second. Proxy Tau poked her in the sternum as 100 thoughts bounced around her head. Too stunned to speak? Has the cluster wasted resources on this one's potential? Sudo found her center, repeated her mantra, and chirped back.
No, no, this one wants more.
Good. If you execute these orders, then you will receive more, he said. He slid the beat-up gray and white digipad off of Sudo's arm and began typing as he spoke. System update. Sudo 19, score and level progress is now paused. New command parameters. 1. Security task feed, maximum. 2. Contact Shutter, Vector, and Moreno for target identification. 3. Activate the apparatus. Key phrase, east side. The word east side made Sudo's neck muscles twitch inside her mask. 4. Covert movement, maximum. 5. Target empathy. Variable range that necessitates elimination. 6. Report to Shutter, Vector, and Moreno after target deletion. End of line. Proxy Tau saved the code line and executed it, filling the screen on the digipad with dozens of tiny yellow-green text columns. A tinny beep rang out from the digipad, and he returned it to Sudo's arm. He anxiously looked around again and saw a female judge look in their direction. He hurried through his departure message as she walked closer. You are now Shutter Pseudo to all other chroniclers until you meet Parameter 3. Failure to meet parameters will result in score and level being expunged from the system. The stream encompasses all. Lithium 19, authorized. As Etta's footsteps closed in, Proxy Tau stood up straight and clasped his hands together, falling back into his disguise. Please, I have good information to trade for drafts. Pseudo blinked. She felt funny, like she'd had this conversation before.
This one is engaged in other functions at the moment. Wait, where did she go?
Pseudo stood on her tiptoes to look over the shoulder of the man in the head wrap. The Franken girl was nowhere to be found.
Is everything all right here, Pseudo?
Etta questioned, as she placed her hands on her hips, revealing the pistol holster to the thin man.
Yes. This trade was rejected.
Bah! Damn chroniclers are too withholding. No wonder everyone hates you. Be warned, Judge. This one isn't worth anyone's time.
Apparently Pseudo-19 feels the same about you. Why don't you piss off?
The man flung his tail of material over his shoulder in a huff and stormed away. Etta turned back to see Pseudo standing still, disengaged from the rude traitor and looking down at her digipad.
Shall we go and catch up with Sergeant Nielsen? We'll need some more supplies for the journey through the peaks, and I think he'll be able to accommodate us at Basal Checkpoint. Maybe there'll even be some more dried mutton for us if we're lucky. I'll show what I've got left if not. Don't worry.
Pseudo looked into the eyes of her traveling companion. She had heard Etta's voice. It was congenial, perhaps even affectionate. But every time Pseudo tried to think of shared experiences with this judge, the memories were cloudy and grayed out in her mind. Bits of color remained in her mental images, but they sparked nothing.
Yes. Let us catch up to Sergeant Nielsen. This one thanks you for sharing sustenance.
Sure thing, Pseudo. Are you sure that fellow didn't rile you up or mess with your digipad?
Positive, Etta. Visual on Sergeant Nielsen is a top priority to make safe passage to Luca Torre. Come.
Etta stood a bit confused, but didn't mind Pseudo taking the lead as the path extended before them.
Always a guessing game with those chroniclers. I hope she's feeling all right.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Echoes of Eschaton. The music for the show is provided by Tabletop Audio, original 10-minute ambience and music tracks for your games and stories. I'd like to extend my gratitude to my talented and expanding voice cast for their hard work. Lyric as Etta Jungbau and newcomer Aretha Montefell, Wingnut as Sergeant Matthias Nielsen, Muenmos as Pseudo-19, and new voice Kyle Puller as Helvetic Radio Operator. I met these fine folks on the social platform Discord. Discord is an amazing way to keep up with listeners and other fans of the show. Users have the ability to chat with voice and video calls, instant messaging, and can share media in private chats or as part of a larger community called a server. I like the platform so much, in fact, that I started an Echoes of Eschaton Discord server. You can find the link to join my server in this episode's description on your podcatcher app or web portal, on my Twitter profile link tree, or on the homepage of my new website, echoesofeschaton.com. If you would like to support the show, there are multiple ways to do so. You can share this post-apocalyptic fiction podcast with a friend, like and retweet show announcements on Twitter, or leave a rating on your podcatcher of choice. I've gotten some great comments on the Spotify Interact section, and I'd like to share a few of them. On episode 20, Major Pieces, I took a poll for my listeners and asked, "Do you enjoy political intrigue and storytelling?" 67% of you said yes, spin your webs, Coop the GM. But at least 33% of you said, well, let's see where this goes. I hope it's satisfactory for the season finale. Stay tuned. In episode 20's Q&A section, I asked, are there any fiction or nonfiction podcasts that do political webs well? Let me know. And Nyx, with a continued comment streak, said, I don't know, but I can't break my comment streak now. Can't wait to read more from you, Nyx. Thanks. And thank you all for listening and loving the show. Until next time, dear listeners.